Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on May 9th, 2011. May we please have the roll call?
Ms. Kresge?
Yes.
Mr. Prater?
Present.
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Ms. Sullivan?
Here.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to thank everybody in the public for coming out this evening. If you notice on the agenda, the first item after the Pledge of Allegiance is a public hearing on the proposed 2012-2013 school year, school budget. However, we're going to have a slight change in the agenda. We have a group of youngsters here this evening from Clinton Township Middle School. Who participated in the Relay for Life endeavor. And they're here with their teacher, their coach, Diane Cormican. So rather than have them sit through the entire budget presentation, I thought we would let them participate in the program first. So if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. Good evening, everybody. My name is Diane Cormican, and I'm honored to be the enrichment teacher here at CTMS. The enrichment program is very student-led, and we are here to tell you about a project idea that grew into an amazing community event because of these awesome students. Our Relay for Life was held here on Friday, February 24th, and I will now turn it over to my American Cancer Society Relay for Life Committee.
Last year, we started the Relay for Life here at CTMS. We got involved in the Relay for Life because we wanted to find a cure for cancer, and the American Cancer Society is leading in that task. My name is Caitlin Downey, and I know personally how hard it is for people with cancer and their families. When I was in fifth grade, I was given the news my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She had been fighting her battle with cancer ever since. I don't want anyone else to have to go through the pain and scares my family and mom went through. Too many people had to experience the pain of seeing someone they love suffer from this terrible disease. Thanks to the American Cancer Society, many new treatments have been developed and they are leading the research to find a cure. I hope that one day soon, cancer will be something our children learn about in history class.
Together by Linda Nielsen. Cancer is such a scary word, no matter how it's spoken. Peace of mind taken for granted can be crushed and forever broken.
But together we could fight this.
It's an enemy from within us striking oh so randomly. Tomorrow it could be you, for yesterday it was me.
So together we should fight this.
While science is advancing, my heroes still are dying. Some treatments just aren't working, but still we'll keep on trying.
And together we will fight this.
Research is a magic word, is what we want to see. Nothing less than a cancer cure would mean so much to me.
For together we have fought this. It'll take support from everyone to really see this through. So peace of mind for all of us can start off fresh and new. And together we will win.
My name is Taylor Brinker. This year we had over 300 participants in the Relay for Life and 25 teams. The event was an inspirational and fun evening, and we raised a lot of money for the American Cancer Society.
How much did we raise?
We still have money coming in, and people can go to our website to donate throughout the end of the school year. But committee, what is our current total?
Wow.
Thank you so much for your time tonight. We hope that you will all continue to support and sponsor the CTMS Relay for Life. It has been such a big part of our time here at CTMS. You haven't seen the last of us because even though we are graduating to high school, we all plan to take part in both North's Relay and CTMS's. Thank you for all your support.
Mrs. Cormican, not to make this a matter of competition, but could you share with the community and the board what was the tally from last year?
Last year was our first year, obviously, and I thought, you know, we would do this at lunchtime and raise a couple thousand dollars. But last year we raised $16,282. And so we more than doubled. And I just met with the American Cancer Society representative, and she said that we are, our other relays are looking at us, not just around the state, but around the country, on how to put the capital N in a mini Relay for Life.
Girls and young men, I can't begin to tell you how proud our Board of Education is, and I'm sure your parents and the teachers here at CTMS, and also the teachers you had at Round Valley and Patrick McGarren and Spruce Run, if you came up through the district, how very proud we are of you and of the work that you're doing to take something like the horrible disease of cancer and to try to raise money for research. I think is an absolutely wonderful thing. So again, I'm sure your parents, I know the teachers and the administration in the school are very, very proud of you. And I know you don't want to stay here all night. You probably have homework to do since tomorrow is a school day. So again, thank you very much. Last month, we as a Board of Education, adopted a tentative budget, which we had to submit to the County Superintendent of Schools. After that particular meeting, we did have two meetings on the budget. One was held on, I believe it was March 2nd, was a Friday morning at Round Valley School, 7:30 in the morning, as a matter of fact, and all the board members were in attendance. And then we had a meeting last Thursday evening where the public had an opportunity to ask questions and to make comments. So we will be submitting a budget to the County Superintendent of Schools. That is due at what date?
The last date is for the public hearing is March 30th.
Okay. And so our responsibility is to have a public hearing on the budget and to have comment. The budget has been online. And if members of the public have questions or would like to comment on the budget, we normally at a Board of Education have a 3-minute limit on asking questions or raising concerns. The budget being such an important item, we're waiving that 3-minute request. But we would ask that anybody who would like to address the board, please take into consideration that we do have a number of people here this evening, and be responsible for the amount of time that you take up, keeping in mind that there are probably others waiting to get to the mic to ask questions or to raise concerns. So at this point in time, we will open the meeting to any members of the public who would like to address the board on the school budget. Could I just ask you to state your name and address, please?
Brian Millay, excuse me, Old Clinton Road. I'd like to start by thanking the board for the meeting last Thursday. I thought it was nice to see constructive discussion and dialogue among the board members for a couple hours on the budget. In the future, I think that would probably be best held before the preliminary budget comes out, just to give some time so that changes that may come up or discussion from the public can be addressed instead of in a last-minute fashion. I'd also like to address a comment I made last week about the tax levy. I just want to clarify, I spoke to the township tax assessor, Jeff Ward, today, and he clarified for me that the township does sort of a rolling reassessment, and what they'll do is they will, last year, for instance, he started to get the first of the downturn caught into the assessments. So about roughly half, just shy of half, of the township was reassessed last year. Those people probably saw a decrease in their tax bill, whereas somebody like me who wasn't reassessed last year saw an increase. This year, it'll be reversed. So those people who were reassessed last year will probably see about a 9% increase in their tax bill, while I'll get a reduction. I'd just like to comment that I still believe that the rate of increase, about 10% over 2 years in the operating budget, seems at odds with the declining enrollment, even when considering school choice. And I noted last week an article in the Hunterdon County Democrat about the Tewksbury School District. They have seen enrollment drop from 2009-2010 of 786 pupils to this coming year, 2012-13, of 701 pupils. Their operating budget, according to the paper, has dropped from $14.7 million in 2009-2010 to $11.8 million. Yet ours has increased by 10% over the same time, with roughly a similar decrease in pupils. Last but not least, the board last summer made a commitment to reduce the tax levy, and when combined with other incidences that have occurred, it starts to have a credibility problem. And when people start to question the credibility of the board about tax levy reductions and whether or not school choice costs the township, the school district money, that credibility issue seeps into other items like the budget. What else is in the budget that maybe could come out but the board isn't being open about? So I'd like to throw that out to you. And next year we're going to have a new superintendent. I hope that the new superintendent, similar to Mr. Carroll when he came in, does a zero-based budgeting baseline. She will have different priorities and a different vision, and I hope that the board encourages her to do a zero-based budget next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Nick Corcadillis, Old Mountain Road. The board seems to have figured out how to get around our 2% cap on the tax levy. The figures I'm going to refer to all come from your own user-friendly budget on your website and on the state's website. As a direct result of state aid, spending per student between last year and this year, according to your own user-friendly budget, is up 14%. Spending on administration alone is up 8.4%. This is a dishonest budget to the tune of almost $3 million. In this budget, you should be lowering the tax levy by $2.8 million in revenues that you never said you needed. In the last budget election, which was the last one that was held, here's what you certified you needed to run our schools: $24,228,673. That's what the voters approved. What did you actually do? As a direct result of additional state aid that you got that was underreported, you spent this year $1,164,368, or 4.8% more than voters approved last year. You took in $1.488 million more in revenue than you said you needed in that budget. Now, according to what happened at last Thursday's meeting, you're apparently offering a pittance $6 per household in tax relief as a direct result of your budget. I'm not talking about your debt. You promised, on the record, as the last gentleman stated, a lot more than the $30,000 cut you offered last Thursday. Mr. Carroll said on the Wiki back in January, even with school choice costs taken into consideration, the net will be over $500,000 and will reduce the tax burden on Clinton Township citizens. On August 30th, Mr. Dinkoff said he would enable the district to offer better than flat taxes again, and allow us to use $247,310 to reduce the local tax levy. But by your own accounting, according to your user-friendly budget, you owe taxpayers millions more in tax reductions. If Tewksbury can do it, with about 700 kids, you can do it. It's not an astonishing number, it's a necessity. Your finances and your new budget are dishonest. In your new budget, you're getting an increase. In the proposed budget, you're getting an increase of $1.3 million in aid compared to last year. You add it up, that's $2.8 million more aid over the past 2 years. You have far more money than you certified that you need to run our schools. And you're returning virtually nothing to taxpayers. The real problem here is that the purpose of increased state aid in this day and age is to reduce the tax levy, not to increase spending. Last July, Commissioner Cerf from the Department of Education sent you a memo, and he said the additional state aid included in this year's budget provides your district with a unique opportunity to reduce property tax burdens by lowering your local property tax levies for this fiscal year or the next. Using this aid to lower taxes is an important step toward new and effective management of our schools that focuses on improved student achievement rather than increased spending. Nonetheless, you have increased spending just this year, over what you certified you needed to run our schools last year. You received a dramatic amount of additional state aid than you said you needed in that budget. And now you're getting another $1.3 million more than last year. Mr. DelSorte pointed out earlier that your deadline for holding a public hearing is shortly upon you. However, I don't believe he said that the deadline for submitting your budget is any particular date. And I believe there's a reason that he didn't say what the date is, because in fact, there is no deadline this year for your budget. I don't know whether you all know this. This information comes directly from the County Superintendent of Schools, Jeff Scott, who explained to me that because you adopted November elections and because you decided to eliminate school budget elections, there is no deadline technically to submit your budget. He said you can submit it the end of this week, you can submit it beginning of next week, you could submit it in April, you could submit it in May. Practically speaking, the only deadline, practically speaking, he said, has to do with when the county clerk has to produce the ballot. Unless you can account for why you're spending virtually all of the additional state aid that you're getting rather than returning it, as you've already promised, I suggest that you hire yourselves a consultant who can explain the details of the budget to you and what you're doing, and spend whatever time you need to make sure you get your questions answered and that you're presenting something to the public and to the state that is cogent, that's consistent with the commitments you've already made, and that reflects what the governor said to you when he sent you all of this state aid. If Tewksbury can cut their operating budget by $3 million, when their budget is less than half of ours, and you can't do it, something is very, very wrong. So I urge you, take whatever time you need. This budget is not due on Friday or next Monday. And if you don't believe me, contact Jeff Scott. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Frank Goncher, 1117 Highfields Road, Clinton, New Jersey. I oppose to the increase in the budget. In fact, we should be receiving $1.5 million reduction in taxes.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public like to address the board?
I would like to say something. My name is Dr. Thomas Blum. I live in Clinton Township, Three Hillstop. I heard our governor talking on the television, and he said he was going to send some money to schools. And I believe he has done that. And I don't see why the taxes should go up. I think they should go down because of that. And I'd like to hear your explanation why it is not going down, if that's the case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Pause, Cokesbury Road. I find the proposed budget out of hand. You know, basically, I'm a taxpayer, 40 years, and you're taking money out of my pocket instead of putting money back into it. Okay? I think Mr. Kaplan, I don't know if you're Mr. Kaplan, I understand you don't know the meaning of relief. And I looked in Webster, and he says, removal or lightening of something oppressive, painful, or distressing. And to the taxpayer, this school budget is all three. So I think the governor sent money back to us. We should be getting it. I should be seeing my tax bill go down. I don't think that's very hard to understand. I think anybody in the room understands it. Whatever side you're on, you know, that's it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ken Nerger, 136 Allerton Road. I just want to say what I think a lot of people feel, and that's that for many years, the budget's been defeated. And for many years, the town has reversed what the voters have wished for. And I find that very appalling, even though I have on certain years voted for the budget. I think it really is a shame that when we vote, it doesn't count for anything. And I think that's why there's a lot of apathy with people voting in our community. I'm curious also with the money that was found in that account, you know, why didn't that come back to the taxpayers like it was promised? I oppose the budget. We need to see a reduction. There's people out there hurting big time. We see people fleeing our community. Our enrollment is down. There's people like me. I've had cancer. I'm on disability. I'm on food stamps. I can't afford to stay here. And I've paid my dues in the past. I've been working since I was 13 years old. I've always been contributing to my community. I'm a scout leader in town. I believe in education. But this, guys, we've got to get creative. We've got to get creative. And we can't be putting the burden on the taxpayers. And I would have felt the same way if I was gainfully employed right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Dawn Kyoto, 95 Blossom Hill. I was actually planning to leave when my daughter left, but then I saw a whole lot of people coming in who, it doesn't appear to me, have children in the school system, and I haven't seen you at other meetings. Where was everyone last week when there were four of us here? Have you been here? Have you put to... You don't know when there's meetings every month? Have any of you put together your own budget and proposed it to the board?
Well, it's interesting.
We can't have, I'm sorry. We can't have a dialogue between people in the community. This is an opportunity for people from the public to address the board. If you'd like to speak to the young lady, you know, you could follow her out and talk to her out in the hall.
No problem.
It's interesting, just to add one more thing, and I was actually going to say this before, that we do get notifications every day on the school tidings. We get information from the superintendent. We get information from the principals. But we don't get an email. None of us get an email saying when there's going to be a meeting. And for people like me that have severe memory issues from chemotherapy, it would be very beneficial for the entire community that pays taxes to know by email, by the same route, that we are getting this other information on a daily basis when there's going to be a meeting. Because I would come to every single meeting, if that answers the young lady's question.
Jim, can I address that, please?
Go ahead,
Maria. The meetings have been announced in Tuesday Tidings, as well as NJ.com. We send out press releases to NJ.com and in Tuesday Tidings. So there has been public notification of these meetings. So if you have other ways we can reach you, we would like to do that. There's no ill intent here on anybody's part in the board not to communicate with the public about these kinds of meetings. So, you know, you can email us and let us know if there's a better way to reach you, because we would like for you to know this kind of stuff. But I'm the one who does put the Tuesday Tidings stuff from the board out, as well as to press releases to the press, and it has been there. So I would welcome any additional information and ideas that you have. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Steve Balzano, Old Mountain Road. I actually just came to listen tonight. I wasn't going to say anything except for, in respect to the gentleman that just stood up before me, I think if you're a parent, a grandparent, there is nothing more important than investment in our child's education. But the reality is that the cost of providing that education is excessive, and particularly concerning people that are on fixed incomes in this economic times, that the cost, the current cost, is largely exorbitant. $50 isn't going to make a difference for me. But $50 can make a huge difference for someone on a fixed income, someone living on Social Security that hasn't increased in the last couple of years, someone who has lost their job. What I find frustrating, and I looked every year, I say, I'm not going to do it, but then I get intrigued and I actually looked at the budget. And you know, last year was the first year in a long time that you actually got voter approval. And it's unfortunate that there won't be elections on the budget anymore, because I think it's a good gauge to a large extent about the level of engagement of the community in educating our children. The people need to appreciate that education is more than dollars and cents. And unless you have that support of the community, it's going to be hard to justify any education initiatives moving forward. So you lost an opportunity, probably the most frustrating but probably important gauge on community support for your education programs, which is the vote on the budget. But last year you were successful, finally. Congratulations to anybody who was involved. And to a large extent that was because you maintained the flat budget and to some extent at least presented it in a manner that people could appreciate. And despite the flat levy, you still had an $800,000 increase in your operating budget, the delivery of education. You know, and that was a fairly significant increase in cost. What I found surprising in looking at the budget is despite the fact that you had an $800,000 increase in the budget, you've overspent that in this past year by $1.1 million. Now, I got to tell you, if I overspent on a contract for delivery of services and the work I do, I would be out of business to that extent. I mean, that's almost a twofold increase in the increase in spending over a given year, a doubling of what you were approved by the voters to spend. And, you know, to some extent, that opportunity presented itself because you had the additional revenue that you didn't have in previous years from school choice. And I will tell you, school choice intrigued me because it gave you the opportunity for an alternative revenue source. But looking at this, you squandered that opportunity. And I question whether the increases, and there are 78 line items in the budget that have increased, so it's just not one or two unexpected expenditures. There are 78 line items, some of which increased by several hundred thousand dollars. I question whether that has actually been expended, or whether or not that's the anticipated expenditure through the end of the school year. And I would suggest to you that before you vote on this budget, you have a responsibility to all of us and to every student in this school, because if you do this and proceed with this and the public reaction is negative and they realize that they don't have a voice to express that dissatisfaction anymore because we won't have a budget, you will lose community support. And ultimately, that will have a cost on the delivery and quality of education. I would suggest that for each of those 78 line items, you go back and ask yourself two questions. One, has the money been expended? Yes or no? If it's not, you better put a stop on the expenditure of that money, because unless it's a critical public health and safety need, you can always spend more money on education. There is no limit. And you have a responsibility to try to be at least fiscally responsible to the taxpayer. Two, is that cost reoccurring? Or was it a one-time shot? And is that recurring cost necessary to maintain the quality of education programs in the district? This budget, although it represents a modest decrease in the tax levy, the problem is your spending is increasing dramatically. You're increasing spending by $1.6 million over what you were approved last year, this year. I mean, that's huge. It's not sustainable. And again, it relies on all of the revenue derived from school choice. If school choice doesn't provide the benefit that it was intended to provide, which was to generate revenue to help reduce cost and deliver some tax relief, then you got a big problem. Because I, unlike many of you maybe, have no confidence in the state of New Jersey that they will maintain a commitment to any given policy with regard to education in this state. It's never happened, never lasts more than one administration. So you're building a structure, an education program that is totally dependent upon the goodwill of the state of New Jersey. You've been through this before. You've gotten hit with reductions in school aid. If that happens again, then you're gonna have an unsustainable education system that's built upon school choice revenue that was always intended, as it was presented, to provide tax relief. So I would suggest take the time, if it's true, and I believe it is true, that you don't have a pending deadline because there is no longer the need to get this on the ballot. Take the time, review the 78 line items that are going up. Freeze that money if it hasn't been spent. Review those additional expenditures that exceeded last year's budget and determine whether it is recurring or a one-time shot. And then don't base next year's budget on those inflated costs. Base it on what's necessary and what's recurring. Thanks.
Thank you.
Grace Hofig, 9 Stonegate Lane. I know how hard this is to put this together, and I also appreciate the fact that it's virtually impossible for any member of the community to go to the district website and take the user-friendly budget and even the line item budget and understand where the money's going because of how the software parses the different categories. It actually took me a while. I mean, I've been through three budgets and helped craft three budgets, and it was hard for me to do it. But here's where I think, you know, we could all do a better job. The way I looked at it, I think there needs to be an accounting that the public understands for I come up with $1.56 million in additional spending over the budget that was originally approved. So the column that shows the percentage increase off the actual budget, I think it's fair to say that's fairly meaningless to people. That's not the budget they voted on. So we have $1.56 million to account for. And these are the questions I would ask the administration to give to me if I was still on the Finance Committee. I would want to, my starting point would be, I would want to take the increment from the settlement. And by the way, I view that as the only non-discretionary item in the budget. So whatever the increment was to settle that contract, which would be the original teachers in place, not the teachers that were added during the year, but the original teachers that are in place before. I don't know what we've talked about that number. It was 12.6 million times 1% times 3.5% less the health benefits. Whatever that number is, I came out with a few $100,000. I don't know if that's right, but that number is obviously what you're contractually obligated to spend. Every single thing after that is discretionary, and I think you guys can put together something that shows everybody, you know, where did the money go, and here are some of the things that I would want to see. I think you should show people how much did the co-teaching model cost us? And this is a discretionary item. It's something the board favored. It's something everybody was behind. This is how much it cost us. And these questions are basically so you can defend your position. The curriculum, every committee's fighting for their share of it, and I think you need to defend it, but I don't think people have a good idea where the money's going. So I would want to know how much did the co-teaching model cost us, and let people talk about whether they think that's a good idea. I think everybody would be in agreement that it was a good idea. I would want to know how much money was, this is taking away people, okay, but how much money did the did you decide you needed to put into curriculum development and professional development? That would be a different category. How much needed to go into special education? How much needed to go into general education basic skills, because we needed to fight for this position, and then how much went into technology. I think if you can show people that, you know, here's the settlement that we had with the district and here's what that cost us, that gets subtracted off the extra revenue, and then put the rest into buckets that everyone can, you know, talk about and decide whether the district, you know, these are needs or wants or whatever, I think it would be a little easier for people to understand what's going on. You know, in terms of the school choice money, I really struggle with that. The 1.5 million in additional revenue, I think the 247 million obviously has to go back to the tax levy, and I would view that as whatever the tax levy that was certified was for last year, just lower it by 247 million, and that should be your working base. And then the additional 1.3 million is your school choice money. Philosophically, I struggle with what to do with that. I don't think it's incumbent on the board to just take that dollar for dollar and return it to the taxpayers, because it's obviously additional revenue, and you need to decide what to do with it. But I think that you guys can do a better job of showing us where it's going and explaining and, you know, kind of fighting for where it went. I haven't seen that yet. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bob Stewart. I live at 8 Country Club Drive in Annandale. I have just one question. Is the school board going to close this new school because of declining population or attendees?
Are we going to close this new school? Not, yes. My understanding is that we are not going to close it. No.
Are you going to consolidate any schools and close any of them?
That's not for me to decide. It depends on what our enrollment is, how much of a declining enrollment. If in fact it's going to decline over the next few years, then that'll be up to the Board of Education and the leadership and the district administration.
If you do close, that'll affect your budget, correctly?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a few comments. My name is Rosemarie Malacker. I'm a former council member, and I have worked for the school system 20 years ago, and I just feel our money is not being spent wisely. And when I was on council, I was appalled that the school board had the authority to sell our two schools. We didn't need a $4 million white elephant like this that isn't even used to capacity when our Catholic school spent $4 million, and there's nothing wrong with that school. And that is my, I have a very bad cold. I've been in bed for 2 days, but I did want to make that comment because I feel our money is not used wisely, and I feel the members here, those two schools belong to the taxpayers from 100 years ago, the Little Red Schoolhouse and the Mitchell School. We had enough space for our students, and I have grandchildren here in the school system now. I'm for education. But I had to get that across because you're irresponsible with our taxpayers' money. Thank you.
My name is Bill Glennon, and I live at 5 La Jolla Lane, Annandale. A friend of Bob Stewart's, and he and I are on the board, a homeowner's board. When we took over, we slashed 4 years ago, 25% right off the top, because we weren't going to be like government. You say you're a school board, you're a government function, and the function of government is spend every dime you got this year so we can get more next year. As I sit here, and this is the first time I've ever attended a school board meeting, you people sit here and you look like you're listening and really care. I don't think you care, and I don't think you have a clue what's going on in the outside world, that people can't pay this anymore. You never say no to anybody. The state of New Jersey is a disaster. There's 600 and some school districts. When I was educated back in the 50s, you had one superintendent, one principal for the school, one vice principal, and the superintendent was the county superintendent. It's time to get rid of all the dead wood. And you say you have nothing to do with it? You're the school board. You can do it if you want to.
Thank you. Anybody else that would like to address the board?
Yeah, hi. Good evening. My name's Tom Giovannucci. I live in Clinton Township on Skyview Garden Road. I've gone to very few board meetings, and I never speak in public. I was just going to stop by and see what was going on. Heard that it was an important meeting, and it is. I don't get the budget. Not that I should, because I haven't gone over it as detailed as others have, and I don't do budgets with the school board. I'm sure you do great work and spend a lot of time. But I did hear that we took in some money. We had some money to play with. I don't understand why there's a need for an increase. As I said, very passive, just stopped in and wanted to see what was up, and what I've heard is a little disturbing. And if there isn't a drop-dead date, if there is some wiggle room, if there's some more time for this to be spoken about, or as the lady spoke, was a little annoyed before, that more people aren't showing up and commenting, I tell you, my neighbors and friends, if they knew, I think they would be interested to know more. Maybe I should be a little more informed, and maybe you guys, as Maria said, maybe, you know, any way to get the message out a little better, and we'll all be better off. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're here the fourth Monday of every month, sir. Fourth Monday of every month is our regular board meeting. Sometimes we have special meetings like we did last Thursday on the budget, but we normally meet once a month, the fourth Monday of each month. Okay. Anyone else that would like to address the board?
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I want to urge the board to not use all of the funds that we are receiving, either from the government or from, you know, as whatever we're getting, and to use some of it, because I remember, what was it, 2 years ago when we had our budget completely slashed and we were running and it was, everything was going in every which way in the budget. I don't even know if it got passed that year. But I think that we don't want to get into a position where we're hoping that they give us that much, or we don't have enough school choice kids to make the same amount next year, or if we even continue the program, which is one of my concerns about that. And we need to figure out what to do on a lower budget and not go over. I have three kids going to be going into this school district, and I'm definitely for education. However, I feel that they're are ways that we can get it done without having to go use all of our budget plus an additional, what, $1 million? We should be able to do what we do on our budget and let the rest be either relief or save it for some funds that we want to do things with and not spend it before we've got it.
Thank you. Seeing no other members from the public coming up to address the board, we have an action item for facilities and finance. I'm going to suggest a couple different options that I see that we have before us this evening. And there might be more than the three that come to mind for me. One option is to have a resolution and a second to adopt action item 160, which is the resolution to approve the proposed budget for the 2012-2013 school year. So that would be one option that I believe we have available to us. The second option, We've heard a number of people talk about the $247,000 that the district received in state aid during the summer of 2011. There are members of the community as well as some members of the board that believe that $247,000 should be used to see a reduction in the tax levy. So I think a second option that's open to us as a board is to reduce the general fund in the proposed 2012-2013 budget by $147,000 out of the surplus account. And that would be in conjunction with the $70,000 plus that's a reduction in the tax levy from the debt service, plus the $30-some thousand reduction from the general fund, and that would come up with the $247,000 reduction in that would be seen in the tax levy. The third option, which might be agreeable to other members of the board, is to table voting on the budget this evening. And to ask all board members, not just the Facilities and Finance Committee, but all board members to take another look at the budget and look at individual line items in the budget. And I would suggest that we keep that target of $247,000 in mind, and to see if we can come up by taking money from the various 70-some line items where there are increases in the budget, and then have a subsequent meeting to adopt a formal budget. So I'm open to any recommendations or other ideas that the board might have, and I think we have to have some kind of a motion and a direction that we're going to go in as a Board of Education this evening.
I'd like to motion to table it.
I'll second.
We have a motion to table the proposed budget, and we have a second. We're open for discussion before we take a vote, discussing the budget.
I'd like the BA to just clarify scheduling issues here. What we heard tonight, at least by some sources, is that we don't need to certify the budget by any particular time. Can you verify for us exactly what the requirements are here?
Under the current law, the public hearing is supposed to occur no later than March 30th, and the budget is supposed to be delivered to the county superintendent 2 days after the 30th. However, considering that the election is being moved to November, I'm sure there is some latitude regarding when the final submission has to be made. The only other date that I'm aware of is a May date when the county tax assessor will have to have the final figures. I would not suggest that you postpone the decision too far beyond the 30th unless you really have, you need the extra time, and then I could call the county office tomorrow with the hopes of submitting the budget sometime next week.
In order to meet the legal requirement for the hearing, does the budget have to actually be voted on that evening?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Okay, I'm in agreement that certainly we're in no rush. I think it was Ms. Hofig who said once that whenever we make rushed decisions, we usually make bad decisions. So if we have time, then let's table it.
We should establish a definite follow-up date, though. We shouldn't, you know, we should come to...
Excuse me. Do we have any other discussion? We have a motion and a second and a comment from Mark. Do we have any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Pinkoff. And based on the comments I've heard tonight and some of the work that I've been doing with the Finance and Facilities Committee, I would first like to thank everybody for attending tonight. I would also like to thank you for sharing your opinions. I would also remind... I would love to see this many people in attendance at every meeting. I think it's great to have public participation, but it would be apparent to me from the comments tonight that while I happen to believe that there is a lot to defend in this budget, we as a board have probably failed in communicating this. I would suggest not only do we table it, but we figure out a way to present our findings to the public in a more informative format when we do come back for a public hearing. That can be anything from a PowerPoint slideshow going, as Grace said, here are our increases, here are our decreases, here are why, here are the one-time items. It would appear to me that we have not been sufficiently detailed, and the citizens of Clinton are asking for some detail. I think we owe it to them. Thank you.
Any other comments? Michelle?
Yeah, I would like to have an opportunity, and I'm not sure if this meeting is the proper place or not, to kind of discuss what type of a time frame we're looking at and kind of hit some deadlines of when we want to have comments by, how we're going to review those comments, so that when we come back, we do have something, as Mr. Malloy said, more defendable and explainable in plain English.
I'm open for suggestions. You know, our next regularly scheduled meeting isn't until the end of April.
I would recommend a special meeting to review our updated budget.
We have a suggested date?
2 weeks? I mean,
sometime within 2 weeks.
2 weeks adequate time to, you know, gather what we want to gather. I think that should suffice. We don't want to go too long, like Mr. Del Sordi said, but we need to.
2 weeks would put us at spring break.
Oh, would it?
Yep. It's Easter.
Is that going to be a problem for anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Then that's a
bad
week.
That will be a problem.
Would we want to look at the first Monday afterwards?
I can do anywhere from 7 to 10 days from now.
And could we canvass the board through emails and see what works for us throughout a couple of dates and then get some communication on it when we do come to a definitive date through the communications committee can establish and get some PR on what we're going to do.
How about April 16th?
I'm not available that day right now.
No. I'm not available on the 16th.
You know, everybody here works and probably we all have to go check our calendars.
Throw out an internal email to us and with a couple dates.
Let's go from there.
We've worked it out that way before for other matters, so we could probably work it out again.
The first week in April is probably too soon. That's next week. Second week in April is, I'm sure there'll be people away. So I would think it would have to be the week of the 16th. I can't make that Monday night. Michelle, you can't make that Monday night. I don't know if it has to be a Monday night.
I don't necessarily think so.
Yeah, I don't think that's a legal requirement. Just our habit of tying up every Monday night. All right, let's just canvass over email and
let's talk about that third week though. Give us some dates around the third week in April. You might be available 17th, 18th, 19th, a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday possibly. Okay. So we have a motion on the floor. We have a second. Is there any other discussion on that motion? Kevin.
I would just ask before that date that the board members, whatever review we're going to do, to spend a lot of time going through the line items prior to then, so that meeting time is discussing areas that you think would be appropriate for reduction, or if you have a strong opinion about keeping them, form your opinion before we get there that day so we can make the best use of the time.
I have a quick question. Do we send our comments so this goes back to committee for facilities and finance? The recommendation, the way the committee works, if I understand it correctly, they make the recommendation to the board based on comments they get from everybody else. And is that the format we're going to continue to follow in this circumstance, or is this just going to be an open work session?
Considering what has transpired this evening and over the weekend, the Facilities and Finance Committee did come up with a recommended budget, and there have been concerns raised by various board members. I would like to see this next meeting be a meeting of the whole Board of Education, a work meeting. We've already had our public hearing on the budget. I don't know if it's necessary to have that be another public hearing. I think the public can be invited. Public can have an opportunity to sit in and hear what the board has to say. I guess there would be an opportunity for public comment that we would be required to do that. But I consider it more a work session of the board where we take a long, hard look at the various items that are in the budget and come up with our recommendations on what areas can be cut.
Jim, just to follow up, just so that we don't all come in here cold.
Yeah, that's my concern.
I think it might be a good idea to follow up what Maria said, would be if anybody has any comments that they come up with beforehand, to give them to the Finance Committee and CC Tony and Kevin.
Yeah,
because there's no reason why, if an individual board member has an issue with a particular line item, why they can't start a dialogue with the Finance Committee and Tony and Kevin. Because it might be something that says, you know what, absolutely not, that cannot be reduced because XYZ, we're contractually obligated to keep that figure. So then, you know what, move off it, move on. But, you know, we might be able to reduce some of the issues at the meeting.
Okay.
But I think it helps.
Makes sense.
To get prepared.
Absolutely.
You know, Kevin Malloy, you sent out an email to the Facilities and Finance Committee saying, let's take a second look at the budget and take out the necessary items. That might be a reversal to do that, is take out what we can't move, like you said, like Michelle said, you can't, there's no play, that's it. It is what it is, contractual obligation, and then go from there. I think your email was very good, and it looked for a second look, less what necessary items we can't touch. Maybe that's the way to go. If you can elaborate, if you want to elaborate on that.
Well sure, as Michelle said, what I was suggesting internally in a committee was, as I was taking a second look over the weekend, okay, let's identify, and Mr. Del Sordi and Mr. Carroll helped me find those items pretty quickly. Let's identify those items which are hard and fast, set in concrete, i.e. contractual items, work backward from there and figure out what items are more malleable.
I think that's a great idea. That gives us a lower bound to work with. We know what the minimum we absolutely, positively must spend. And then we can work between that and what we have in front of us now.
Okay. I think it speeds things up as well.
So. It's helpful to those of us not on the Facilities and Finance Committee because we're not always in touch with what exactly can't be touched.
I think, as Michelle said, it's imperative that everybody send stuff. The last meeting was not particularly productive.
Yeah.
We can't all show up here and go through 160 pages of budget on the fly, cold, and expect to get anything done. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen on the 22nd. It's not going to happen next time. So I think Michelle is right. We need to have a pile of suggestions that have been vetted, or nothing will happen. So everybody's going to have to put some effort in over the next week or two.
We know there's at least 78 items.
Wow.
Okay. Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call vote on that motion, please.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.